Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning, friends. Yes, it is always a joy whenever we come to the house of the Lord for fellowship. We always count it a blessing. Today we would want to join in reflecting on the theme, Faith Building Ingredients. Faith Building Ingredients. I'd want us to reflect on these words once more, as recorded in the book of Matthew 8, verse 10 to 13. When Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, be it done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. You see, looking at these words closely, you just find and hear Jesus attend to this centurion, a commander, army. So one thing that I would want to invite you as we reflect on this scripture is really to spend more time. I know when we read some of these scriptures, we are just picking a section of that scripture. But on your own time, leisure time, just spend some time with this scripture and even go from the first verse of this scripture and just sit with this scripture and immerse yourself in this scripture. One thing that I would want to invite you is to reflect on this idea that this guy was focusing on Christ-centeredness, this centurion. For one thing that we identify in this individual is his attitude. He was such an individual who had a unique attitude. For example, he acknowledged Jesus. Even though he was a commander who had authority, but yet he realized and recognized that Jesus could command and challenge us to live a life that is so fulfilling. He had this understanding that Rome, in as much as it was an empire that had influence in the economic realm, Rome had influence in the political realm, Rome had influence in the military realm. When you wanted to speak a language that would really make you succeed in commerce or in trade, you had to learn the language that the Romans spoke. And it became an important language, medium for communication. But yet this guy who was serving Rome as a commander, one who could stand and say, I am a military of the Rome. Not only am I a military member of the Roman Empire, but I am a commander. But yet, amidst all that high position, he approaches Jesus. And he said, "Jesus, I know Rome has power, but yet I know Rome has its own limitations. Insofar as commerce is concerned, insofar as military power is concerned, Rome was in charge. But yet he decided to say, Jesus, there's this area of my life that I am cognizant that I need to come to you and bow down and say, Jesus, you are my Lord. Not only are you my Lord, but you are my Lord, the Lord of my household, the Lord of my own workers. Therefore, I am coming to you to seek your help. Such an attitude is definitely unique. To approach Jesus, even though he occupied such an important position as a Roman soldier, commander, not only to save himself, but in order for his servant to benefit from Jesus. In other words, he had exhausted all the channels, all the resources that could help his servant, but he did not give up. He did not give up on his servant. He wanted to find a solution for the benefit of his servant. You know, it was easy for this commander to say, well, you know what? I'll hire someone. You are sick, you are ill. Now I will just replace you. It was easy for this commander to do that. But he wouldn't give up on his servant. He exhausted all options for the sake of his servant. Isn't it amazing that he would travel a distance to seek help? You know, this is a guy who demonstrates generosity. You know, in our world today, if you look closely at actions that people perform, it's centered on self. Self-interest has become the common thing. When you look closely to actions, when you look closely to words that are said, actions that are performed, the underlying issue behind is all self, 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 self. But this guy is amazing. He says it's no longer about self, because if it was about self, I could easily hire someone else and replace this servant, so this servant, a new servant could serve me. But Jesus, I am coming to you because I want this servant to be well. Even if he decides to go tomorrow, but I want him to be well. This commander had no guarantee that this guy, after he was healed, he was going to stay with him. But yet, generosity motivated the centurion to go all the way. You know what, friends? When we allow Jesus to touch us, when we embrace Jesus' centeredness life, way of life, we cease to be so obsessed about myself, 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 myself. We rise up to that sacred space where we cease to be all about self, but we look around and say, how can my brother, how can my sister, how can my neighbor, how can my fellow countrymen and countrywomen have a better life? Maybe this guy, this centurion, had read this scripture in Psalms 113, verse 7, where he just picked a few words from that verse. In the NIV version, it says, God lifts up poor and needy from trash pile. So this centurion knew that God cares for the needy, for the poor, who appears though they are among trash. In that pile, God goes and places his hand and sifts and pulls human beings out of the pile, seemingly trash. Cleans them up, washes them. For God values humanity so much. That's why this guy wouldn't give up on this servant who was so, so low, the social structure. But the commander decided to go and attend to this low, lowly, lowly figure. Which takes us to this notion that this guy, this Roman centurion, was a humble individual. He understood what humility is all about. That's why I love the song that we used to sing when we were young. Humble yourself and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. And when you are lifted, you realize it is no longer my own doing. You know, in our world, people are always saying, I did this, I did this. But people who recognize it was the doing of the Lord, I have what I have because God blessed me with life. God blessed me with intellect. God blessed me with resources. Therefore, I am who I am because God blessed me. That's why there is this understanding that, you know, in Scripture, we are blessed to be a blessing to others. But unless someone is humble, they will not point to any other power or any other individual who lifted them up, who helped them along the way. It starts with them and everything ends with them. I did this, I am doing this. Hence, there's no room to reach out to others in a humble way. We become conceited when we forget that our life belongs to the author of life who blessed us. That's why when we understand that we have been blessed, we cease to manipulate resources and do anything because we are humble enough, recognizing that God has blessed me with my knowledge. I will not use my knowledge to pull down someone or to do something against a fellow human being because I'm humble enough, recognizing that it is God who blessed me with all these gifts. Therefore, now I can use my knowledge to bless others and to bless others. I can reach out and look at my resources and figure out and ask, how can I bless a fellow human being? A commander of 100 soldiers who was trusted by the Roman Empire to safeguard the taxes that were collected from transport and all the resources of the Roman Empire. But yet, he realized that he could be a blessing to somebody. In other words, this individual understood that he could listen to Jesus. He could listen to Jesus and learn something from Jesus. Not only listen to Jesus, but listen to fellow human beings and grow out of what he would hear from fellow human beings. He could dialogue with other individuals. Not speak at other individuals, but dialogue with fellow human beings and trying to understand, where are you coming from? What are your thoughts? And giving the other individual a turn to say, here's where I'm coming from, here are my thoughts, and figure out what is best for the nation, for the global village, for our communities, for our families, for our schools, for our companies. He understood that he could rely on God's teaching and learn from God's word. Following which, Jesus said he was going to attend to his servant. But again, full of humility, this guy responded to Jesus. And he said, you know, Jesus, I have authority myself. I tell my soldiers where to go and when to come back. I tell my servant what to do. I have that authority. I know you are the Son of God. You have authority. I yield to your authority. Speak and it will be done. I know even if you speak to the challenges of my servant, something will happen, and I yield to you. I yield my authority to you. Speak even to what is happening under my roof, in my household. Speak. I yield to your authority. I lower my authority. I subject my authority to your glorious and gracious authority. And Jesus, in response, said he had never seen such kind of faith in the whole of Israel. Then some of us who are here will say, oh, why were those people in Israel not trusting God enough? But yet, let's come closer. Who are these Israelites today? People like myself, a third generation Christian, where I can say maybe, well, I'm a third generation Christian. But now Jesus is saying, I have not seen this kind of faith among third generation Christians. But I've seen it in this centurion. There are some who are sitting here and are saying, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been a Christian for 10 years. My parents were Christians. But again, Jesus is saying, I have not seen such kind of faith among people who have been Christians for 10 years, for 20 years, whose parents have been Christians. I have not seen this kind of faith. I'm trying to contextualize this. What does Israelite mean in our own context? Jesus is saying, I have seen this kind of faith in this individual whom appears to be immature insofar as his faith is concerned. Someone who is a new beginner, someone who is just coming, someone who is here for the first time. Yet Jesus is saying, I am impressed, I am astonished by your level of faith. He was surprised. Jesus was perplexed by the faith of this individual. Today in our world, today in this 21st century, faith is found at times in individuals whom we think maybe they don't have that kind of faith. But Jesus is saying, team up and learn from one another, even from people who are coming here for the first time. As they enter the sanctuary, they have something to offer. We can learn something from them. Jesus was impressed by this centurion. He was perplexed. Isn't it a joy to realize that someone surprised Jesus? Oftentimes when we read scripture, we hear about how Jesus surprised people. They were surprised when Jesus fed more than 5,000. They were surprised when he said to a person who couldn't walk, rise up and walk. And people who watched Jesus, they were surprised. But Jesus himself is saying, now I have been surprised. Isn't it a joy to realize that Jesus himself, the Son of God, was humble enough to allow someone to surprise him as well? Isn't it amazing to realize how important you are to Jesus, to an extent that you can impact Jesus as well? You know, we always think of how Jesus impacts us, but do we know we have a place in God's kingdom to surprise Jesus? If we are willing, if we are ready, we can surprise Jesus as well. Isn't it amazing that we have such a humble king, a humble savior, who is ready to be perplexed by fellow human beings? You can do it. This centurion did it. You can do it. Meal for meal. You can be that church that surprises Jesus, and Jesus watched and says, wow, meal for meal, you astonished me. By the way that you love one another, by the way that you care for one another, by the way that you care for people here in Pikesville, by the way that you attend to the lowly individuals, you have astonished me. Yes, we can be that kind of church where Jesus said, meal for meal, you have surprised me. You have surprised me. Don't you want to be that kind of church? I would want to be that kind of church myself. I would want to be that kind of pastor who, when Jesus is looking at all the pastors in this world, and Jesus says, you have surprised me. I want such kind of a heart. I desire and long for such kind of a heart that surprises Jesus. Jesus who knows what happens in the heart. Jesus who cannot be blinded by what we say, but Jesus sees right here in the heart. And he's saying to the centurion, I have seen what is in your heart. I have seen your attitude in darkness and in light, and you have indeed surprised me. Jesus is calling us to go beyond knowledge and perfect behavior. Because knowledge, the Pharisees had a lot of knowledge, knowledge that surpassed the knowledge that this centurion had. But yet, it did not serve a purpose. Instead, they wasted so much time and energy interrogating Jesus. Perfect behavior serves no purpose because the Pharisees were trying to be perfect. But yet they stumbled over and over again and wasted time where they were busy setting traps at Jesus. But yet Jesus is reminding us, relationship, relationship, whether it starts today, it is what grows our faith. It is the ingredient that grows us into pleasing God. This is what it transforms us. For this centurion decided to have a relationship with Jesus. It was not legalistic, but opening his heart to Jesus. He opened his heart to Jesus and dialogued with Jesus and listened to what Jesus was saying and allowed what Jesus was saying to sink in his heart. It was all about the relationship. You know, when we decide to build relationships, we end up understanding that even our differences with people that we say, oh, I'm so different with his ideas or her ideas are so different from mine. At times we are surprised when we start eating together, when we start sitting together, we realize the differences, they melt. And we realize, why were we wasting time arguing all this time? It was unnecessary. We are brothers and sisters. Then we hug and we smile. Then we tease each other. Then we walk side by side holding each other's arm. And we sing songs of faith. And we sing the songs of our mothers, the songs of our fathers. And we realize, oh, we are one. We are one. We are one. We are one. We are one church. We are one family. We are one, even at family level. We realize all the differences, they melt away when we spend more time, investing more time, having more quality time as families, as churches, as communities. The more time we spend together, the more the differences vanish away. Jesus recognized this guy who wanted a relationship with him. It was moment by moment, moment by moment. Listening to Jesus and responding to Jesus. Yes, I want you to heal my servant. And Jesus says, you know, yes, I will. And he says in response, Jesus, no, you know what? You can just say it. It was moment by moment, flowing with Jesus. Jesus is inviting us into a relationship that is 24/7. A relationship that doesn't stop when we exit this building, but where we dialogue with Jesus 24/7, opening up to Jesus, listening to Jesus, and speaking with Jesus. Where we invest extraordinary trust in Jesus, like the centurion did. Where we place self in the right environments. Right environments. This guy understood that he had to develop a relationship with Jesus, and he had to go and have this kind of relationship with Jesus. He placed himself in the right environment. Right environment. An environment that raised this guy's awareness level. He became more aware of what Jesus expected of him, because he allowed Jesus to build this relationship. So he placed himself, he positioned himself close to Jesus and started building a closer relationship with God. Friends, faith. The ingredients that help build strong faith includes positioning ourselves where we sit side by side with fellow believers and spending more time with Scripture, learning from the Word of God, and listening to what Jesus has to say to us. So today, and I hope this works out.
Yeah. I sort of ordained on my grandson's and they versus.
you think?
Looks good.
Good time? What's the best part?
The whole thing.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Here's this lady. At age 93, she decided to go skydiving. And all she had to do was to rely on the guide. She had to depend on this guide. She couldn't pull herself off the guide. She had to hold on to this guide. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling us to hold on to Christ, who is surrounding us, who is holding us, so that we may grow in a relationship with Jesus. 93 years old, all she was doing was relying on this guide. And she said, yes, I've landed perfectly well. We will land perfectly well. We will land. We will grow and grow and grow and grow and become bigger in our faith. We will grow and grow and grow and impact other people in the same way the centurion did. If we only hold on to Jesus, who is inviting you and I to develop a deeper relationship, a closer relationship, and draw closer to Christ, who is saying, I want to be this close, in the same way the guide was this close to this 93-year lady. She didn't say, well, don't get close to me, because she knew everything depended on this guide. Will you allow Jesus and say, Jesus, everything, all my life, just touch it. All my heart, I give it to you. I trust you. This woman had to trust this guide. She trusted that this guide would land her, would help her land in the right way, safely. Will you trust Jesus and say, my Jesus, my Lord and I, oh, what a wonderful Savior I have, my Jesus and I give all my all to you and let it flow moment by moment, trusting in Jesus. Will you open your heart today right here at Milford Mill? Jesus is so faithful. He doesn't want to wait another second to touch you. The second you say, Jesus, here is my heart, in the same way the centurion said, Jesus, here I come. I come closer and closer to you. Speak, and it will happen. When we seek Jesus, it will happen. The transformation will occur. Will you let Jesus work the mysteries of grace in your life and in my life? And we cease to be our own, but we become Jesus and walk with Christ moment by moment, moment by moment. Amen and amen to Milford Mill friends. Amen.